This morning we're going to look at events at the second coming of Christ. This is an article out of the Truth Magazine written by Brother Connie Adams. The promise of the second coming of our Lord has produced many beneficial results. It offers hope to the faithful and instills fear in the ungodly. While the righteous can confidently say, "Even so, come Lord Jesus," that's Revelation 22 and verse 20. For the wicked, such a prospect is fraught with terror, for our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12 and verse 29. It is the expectation of His coming that stimulates evangelism. We do not know when He shall come, and therefore it is urgent that we be ready at all times. We must reach all with the gospel message while it is day, John 9 and verse 4. This hope challenges us to devotion. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, 1 John 3 and verse 3. In light of His coming, Peter asks, "What manner of persons ought you to be?" 2 Peter 3 and verse 11. While the doctrine of the second coming of Christ is such a vital part of Scripture, it is a shame that false teachers have so confused the minds of people as to exactly what is to take place at His coming. Let's see if we can set the record straight. The second coming of Christ will be the end of the world. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I changed just a few things in this lesson. He just wanted us to read verse 10, but we're going to read the whole chapter. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 1. "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth, standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then exist perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth which now exist are kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." In the context of the passage, And that's why we read the whole chapter, because he talks about the context. In the context of that passage, we learn that this deals with the promise of his coming in verse 4. Right now the world is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, verse 7. The day of the Lord, of verse 10, is the day that fulfills the promise of his coming. It is the day when all that pertains to this earth will be destroyed. That plays havoc with the agenda of the dispensationalists, who have an elaborate scheme worked out about what will happen on the earth after the second coming of Christ. They speak of his coming in different stages: the rapture, tribulation, a literal reign upon the literal throne and literal Jerusalem for a literal 1,000 years. But the Bible says that at the second coming, this earth and the works therein shall be burned up. Jesus left in the clouds according to angelic promise and will return in the clouds. Let's look at Acts 1 and verse 9. Acts chapter 1 excuse me. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And Paul said, we will meet him in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. But what about the new heavens and the new earth? Whatever that will be, this present earth will not be associated with it, for the present heaven and earth shall be burned up. The expression new heaven and new earth is used to describe a new dwelling place which God is preparing for his own. The coming of Christ is the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the dead shall be raised at his coming. Speculators tell us there will be 1,007 years between the raising of the righteous and the wicked. But what did Jesus say? Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verses 28 and 29. John 5, verses 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. The same hour the righteous come forth is the same hour the wicked are raised. There is no 1,000-year period between the raising of the righteous and the wicked. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18 does not teach it either, for that passage only deals with each issue of the righteous dead as opposed to the living in Christ at the time of his coming. The subject of the wicked dead was not mentioned at all. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll read that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. starting at verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brother, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and thus we all shall always be with him, with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. At his coming, the kingdom will be delivered unto God, delivered up to God, excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 23 and 24. 1 Corinthians 15, 23 and 24. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God. Excuse me, let me try that again. Verse 24. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. Instead of taking up rule and authority at his second coming, Paul said he will deliver it to the Father. Something is dreadfully wrong with the timetable of the speculators. His second coming will be the end of the preparation to meet God. The parable of the wise and foolish virgins teaches that when the Master returned, the door was shut. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Starting at verse 1, Matthew 25 and verse 1, Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Then the time of preparation will be ended. False teachers hold out false hope to unconverted Jews by teaching that the door will be left open for them to have another chance to get in. But the time to prepare for his return is while the Master is in the far country, or heaven, not after he returns from it. That is when the door will be shut. There's no room left for 1,000 years between the return and the accounting of the servants. Such teaching as we hear so often these days runs counter to what the Bible teaches about God's impartiality. He treats Jews and Gentiles alike and offers the same gospel hope to both. It is wrong to teach the Jewish people to glory in the flesh. His coming will institute the judgment of all men. Matthew 25 and starting at verse 31. Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left hand. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, and feed you, or thirst, and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then He will also say to those on His left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food, I was thirsty and you gave me no drink, I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and did not visit me. Then they will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then He will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Matthew 25:31-46 shows that when He comes, He will sit on the throne of His glory, and He will separate the wicked from the righteous. Notice the order of the passage. He comes in glory, then He shall sit upon His throne. Before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them. This passage leaves no room for 1,000 years between His coming and the judgment of all men. The first coming of Christ accomplished all God meant for it to do. His mission of salvation is complete. His revelation is complete. His authority is complete, for He has it all. His kingdom is complete. The Colossians were in it. John was in it. It cannot be moved. His throne is complete. Let's look at these in Scripture. His mission of salvation is complete. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 7 through 10. Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in Him. His revelation is complete. Jude verse 3, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. His authority is complete, for He has all of it. Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. His kingdom is complete. The Colossians were in it. Colossians 1 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. John was in it, Revelation 1 and verse 9. Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. It cannot be moved. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. His throne is complete. Revelation 3 and verse 21. Revelation 3 and verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Not long before his arrest, trials, and crucifixion, Jesus prayed to his Father and said, I have finished the work thou givest me to do. Let's look at John 17 and verse 4. John chapter 17 and verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Then in verse 11, he said, I am no more in the world. Every millennialist would have to argue with the Lord on that, for they are just certain that he was mistaken about it, and that he will yet be in the world for a literal 1,000 years. They do not understand the book of Revelation and the 20th chapter in particular. They have no understanding of the difference between literal and figurative language in the Bible. They have a false concept of the prophetic books of the Old Testament, which provide the backdrop for the symbolism of the book of Revelation, not understanding that they seize upon that 1,000 years out of a passage which assures victory for the cause of Christ in the interest of martyred saints, and missing the point, weave an elaborate agenda of speculation that bends and twists the whole Bible out of shape to make it fit this notion. The Lord is coming. It will be to our eternal advantage to watch and pray and maintain constant readiness for the trumpet to sound and for all things temporal to end. The question is, are you ready? I want you to turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. As I offer the invitation this morning, I want you to think on this. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Actually 11 and 12. Let's read that again. Therefore, since all things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? How many of us are longing for and hastening the coming of the Lord? Are we ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Am I ready to meet Jesus? The only way that we know that we're ready is if we're doing what the Bible tells us to do. And there's no other way than that. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, Matthew 7 and verse 21, we find that not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The will of the Father in heaven is that you believe in Jesus Christ and that you obey his commandments. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. His commandments are to believe, to to repent of your sins and turn away from them, to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and to be immersed in water, baptism, for the remission of your sins, and then to live faithfully after you've done that until you pass from this earth or until Christ comes again. If you are not prepared for that this morning and you wish to be prepared or better prepared, we can help you. The water's ready. It's probably a little cool, but, you know, when we're talking about heaven or hell, you can tolerate cold water if you haven't been baptized this morning. If you have already done those things and you've fallen away and need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we can help you with that too, but you have to let us know. If you don't want to come forward, we'll be glad to talk to you outside or anywhere, on the phone, whatever. If you need anyone in this congregation, I'm sure we will all be glad to help or lead you to someone who can help. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, I encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.